So I want to thank you, thank the organizers for the opportunity to present our studies of composite fermion liquid in this conference. And I will talk about two papers with these great collaborators, many of whom are in the audience. So here is outline of the talk. I will hardly need to review the HLR theory. Actually, what I'll do instead is emphasize its relation to other gapless fractionalized phases, and in particular, what we know about them from numerical studies. And then I will focus most of the talk on the DMRG study of the Hauffield lowest Landau level problem of electrons with Coulomb interactions and evidence for the composite Fermi liquid state. I will, of course, discuss the particle Hall symmetry aspect and evidence for Sohn's theory in the DMRG. And then at the end of the talk, I will describe Monte Carlo study of entanglement entropy in trial CFLs, composite fermion liquid states. So the standard HLR approach is, of course, to view, to do flux attachment, view electrons as some new fermions plus some new fermions plus two fictitious flux quanta attached to them, and in some mean field, these fictitious flux quanta cancel the external field when one is at half filling and one has this composite fermion moving in zero field and forming a Fermi AC. So at the level of wave functions, this approach corresponds to the following trial wave function for electrons, where we have this Zi minus Zj squared factor, which is effectively realizing flux attachment, or more precisely, vortex attaching two flux quanta or two vortices, and then the slated determinant of the field Fermi C of these composite fermions. And let me also mention alternative description, construction to the HLR, where so-called slave fermions or Parton's description, where you can think of electron as composed of three fermions, D1, D2F. You divide electron charge equally between D1 and D2, while assign zero charge to F. Then with D1 and D2, they still see external magnetic field, but now we are actually at an effective filling fraction one. So you know we want to occupy completely occupy one Landau level, and then, so this is in while F, see no field, so form a Fermi C, and while this is mean field, and once you include fluctuations, you gauge fluctuations, they try to glue these particles together, so effectively, the electron wave function is a product of slated determinants for each of them. And this is two products of field Landau level, and this is Fermi C. Now, both theories beyond mean field lead to Chern-Simons, to Fermi C of composite fermions coupled to Chern-Simons field, to Chern-Simons gauge field. And HLR theories are basically RPA like treatment of this Lagrangian. Now I want to emphasize the non-Fermi liquid aspect of this composite fermion liquid. So an obvious non-Fermi liquid aspect is that this is a metallic state of electrons, but electrons by themselves are gaps. So clearly there is no connection to the Landau-Fermi liquid theory. More subtle aspect is that actually beyond mean field, inverse gauge theory, these composite fermions are very strongly scattered by the gauge field. So actually, there are no sharp quasi-particles in this theory. This is a strongly coupled theory.
Why are the electrons gapped? Why do you think they're gapped?
Well, if you calculate electron Green's function, it's exponential. It's decaying even faster than exponentially. How do you? If you try to tunnel electron in, it's pretty hard.
You can.
So it's the sharp question is original electron field. I calculate its correlators and its exponent. It's very short range. In Fermi liquid, you calculate correlator of electron field and its power law. So.
But they're not. The electron isn't a plane wave when you add it, so it's, I mean, that's not a plane to be gapped.
But I think there is a sharp distinction clearly. So how do you define whether electron field is gapped or not?
By adding an electron.
I would think so. Well, yeah, that's probably. I mean, there is no contradiction with this being a compressible state. Superconductor is completely compressible, but adding an electron is a gapped. Object. So, but let me not worry about it. Operation. I can give operation and definition. Calculate electron Green's function. And
that's not the gap.
Let me say that that's the distinction. That there is no way to connect it to Fermi. Let me mention similarity to other. Gapless fractionalized phases, this Parton construction actually brings this makes this similarity very clear. And in fact, with such gapless fractionalized phases, the first discussed in the context of strange metal in cuprates using slave fermion approach. So thinking about, say, frustrated antiferromagnets, we have this well-known example of a gapless spin liquid state where we consider a state where spin is written in terms of spin two fermions, which we call spinons, spin up and spin down, and we put spin on, both spinons into some Fermi C state, and then Gutzwiller project to obtain a spin wave function. And we have a candidate model which is relevant, for example, for organic spin liquids near metal Mott insulator transition, spin 1/2 on triangular lattice with Heisenberg plus ring exchanges. And with collaborators, we put a lot of efforts trying to study this model in an unbiased way. And the approach we took is put this model on strips of finite width and study quasi one-dimensional descendants. And the best we could do is this four-leg ladder system, and this is the closest to the two-dimensional Fermi C that we approached in this study. So now there is actually nothing sacred applying partons to spins. One can apply partons to bosons, and we and if this you put these partons into some Fermi C-like state, you get effectively a metallic state of bosons, so both metals. And we studied some specific realizations of such both metals, where we break, we imagine breaking boson into two partons, d1, d2, and putting them each into a on a square lattice in anisotropic Fermi C state, and I'll construct and then beyond mean field, you glue the coordinates of these partons together and construct the boson wave function, which is product of two slated determinants, one for this Fermi C and one for this Fermi C. And the, we have candidate model that could realize this phase bosons on square lattice with Hopping and frustrating ring exchange. And the largest and biased study we achieved so far with Ryan Mishmash and Donna, who are both in the audience, is four-leg ladder study, and this is the closest to this picture of two anisotropic Fermi Cs that we were able to get in this study. And let me just mention also an example, which is so I referred to was this Bose metal and gapless fractionless a gapless spin liquid in some broader terms, non-Fermi liquid, somewhat abusing a language. And here we actually also studied an example which is non-Fermi liquid in both senses. So this is a spinful electronic system, and we consider a putative phase where this somewhat in the spirit of early work on strange metals, we imagine spin broken into a bosonic chargeon and a fermionic spinon. And then what we do is we put this bosonic chargeon into this Bose metal phase and fermionic spinon into the spinon Fermi C state. And of course, the complexity of the problem is even higher here, and the best we could study so far is this realization on a two-leg ladder. So now, well, what I want to say is that the study, the DMRG study that I will present of the composite Fermi liquid actually approaches two dimensions much closer than these examples. And conceptually, at long wavelengths, the theoretical descriptions of all these phases is very similar. So if we can firmly establish presence of such non-Fermi liquid in one case, this informs us of stability, that these phases can actually exist as stable 2D phases. So where this is work done with by Scott Gerets, Mike Zalit, Roger Mong, Max, me, Ashwin, and myself. So we the setting is we study electrons moving in continuum. We use the same main idea, put these electrons on a strip of finite width and study quasi one-dimensional descending phases. So we so we take this strip to have periodic boundary conditions. So effectively we study this quantum Hall problem on cylinder, and the electrons with Coulomb interactions, and then use infinite DMRG approach, which was developed for fractional quantum Hall by Mike Zalatel, Roger Mong, and Frank Pullman, who are in the audience, to solve this problem. Now, how does the descendant of the composite fermion liquid state look like on the cylinder? So if we are in two dimensions in continuum, of course the Fermi C is just a circle. Its radius you can easily calculate in units. The Fermi radius can be written simply as one over magnetic length, and from now on I will use units where the magnetic length is equal to one, so the K Fermi is just one. Now, when you put this on a cylinder with finite circumference, the transverse wave vector now becomes quantized in steps of 2 pi over Ly. And instead of Fermi C, what you have is this quasi-one-dimensional state where each slice through the Fermi C, you can think of it as a Luttinger liquid. Now, the simplest thing that you would consider is taking Ky to be 2 pi over Ly times integer. And in this case, there is always slice at Ky equals 0. Now, if Ly is smaller than 2 pi, then the smallest non-zero Ky is larger than the than K Fermi, so there is only one slice. If Ly increases, it becomes larger than 2 pi, so then the smallest Ky enters under the Fermi C, and the same happens for both positive and negative Ky, so you have three slices. If Ly becomes larger than 4 pi, you have five slices, and so on. Now, it turns out that we actually, and this is something which we learned from the DMRG results, that we need to consider also a different quantization of Ky, where Ky is written as 2 pi over Ly times half integer. So this looks like anti-periodic boundary conditions for these composite fermions. However, there is no contradiction that for electrons we always have periodic boundary conditions. The thing is that electron is composed out of three patterns, D1, D2F, and I can put anti-periodic boundary conditions for F and anti-periodic boundary conditions for one of the Ds, and the net result for electrons is still periodic boundary conditions. So with these sequence of Ky's, if Ly is between pi and 3 pi, we can have two slices. Between 3 pi and 5 pi, we can have four slices, between, and so on. Now, which one is realized is actually a question of energetics. And what DMRG, both are valid states, and what DMRG finds is actually as we are increasing Ly, the system goes between wanting periodic boundary conditions and anti-periodic boundary conditions for these composite fermions. And roughly what we find is that the, say, this three slices is most stable when Ly is in the middle of this region, four slices when Ly is in this region, and so on. Now, how do we actually know in DMRG that we have these descendant states with multiple slices through the Fermi circuit? So the first evidence is by using entanglement entropy. So in this infinite cylinder DMRG, the way we extract entanglement entropy is using so-called finite bond dimension scaling developed by Frank Polman and Joel Moore. So here one is, of course, one can only use MPSs of finite bond dimensions, and that always cuts, that cannot, while in a critical state, that cannot represent the critical state exactly, but because finite bond dimension always introduces finite correlation length and finite entanglement, but it can approximate critical state progressively more accurately. And it turns out that this finite correlation, there is a relation between this finite entanglement and finite correlation length in such best approximation to critical state, from which we can extract the central charge of this critical state. And here is essentially measurement of central charge. So for each Ly, one performs several measurements at several bond dimensions and plots log of the correlation length versus entanglement entropy, and the slope, and then is the measure of the central charge, and then in some for this range of Ly, define central charge 3. For next range of Ly, define central charge 4. For next range, central charge 5. So we see this progressive, the slices through Fermi C entering inside the Fermi C as we increase the circumference. And here are some more details. So for comparing with this picture of slices, so we in this region where we see central charge equal 3 is centered around roughly 4 pi. So this is where you expect 4 slices. The next region is centered roughly around 5 pi. This is where we expect 5 slices, and we see central charge 4. The next region is centered around 6 pi, and we see we expect 6 slices, and we see central charge 5. And this is actually something that we expect in the gauge theory treatment of such quasi one-dimensional system. We expect the net effect of gauge fluctuations is to reduce the number of gapless modes by one. So we expect the central charges number of slices. So this is a very crude measure of this slicing through the Fermi system, just total number of gapless modes. We can actually do much finer characterization of the state by measuring the electron density structure factor. And what we expect is that this density structure factor will have singularities at wave vectors that connect gapless Fermi points in this state. And here is an example of this measurement in the case when we are finding 4 slices through the Fermi C. So this is the quasi one-dimensional composite Fermi liquid, if you like, and these are the 4 slices, and the wave vectors we expect, and these are the actual measurements of structure factor. So this curve is the QI equals 0 next curve, and QI equals 0 you can obtain by transfer from here to here or from here to here, and we see both these singularities. QI equal 2 pi over Ly you can obtain by transfers like this, like this, like this, like this, and we see these singularities here, here, and some tiny singularities which you need derivatives to extract, but we are there. So the summary of this is actually we see all wave vectors expected from such bilinears. Okay? And this is, in fact, if one uses derivatives, one can see also singularities from 4 fermion and 6 fermion contributions. And this is another example where we expect 5 slices through the Fermi C. So this is the descendant state. And again, we see all wave vectors expected from as predicted from this state. Now we can continue this all the way till the state with 8 slices from the Fermi C. And here is this density structure factor for we measure. Now here it's presented slightly differently. In the previous plots, I only showed positive qx and positive qy, which because we expect symmetry under changing independently the sign of qx and qy. And here I actually showed both positive and negative qx and qy to bring out the two-dimensional structure more clearly. So, and what you see here, if you zoom in on each of these, there are lots of small singularities, but in this crude picture, you can actually see this, the dominant feature is this circle. This is the 2KF circle, which you can think of as accumulation circle for such particle hole excitations around the Fermi series. And this is the same data just plotted in 3D, so density structure factor versus QX, QY. And this picture is actually looking fairly isotropic, and because this is already a pretty wide cylinder. So I would say that this is the closest with the approach to two dimensions in any numerical studies of non-Fermi liquid states so far. So next I want to discuss the particle hole symmetry. So this was discussed extensively in the previous talks already. I will just mention a couple of points particularly relevant for the numerical study. So first of all, this is, as was described before, is an fairly natural, this particle hole is a fairly natural anti-unitary operation in when you think about lowest, looking in the lowest Landau level, and it can be symmetry and nu equal 1/2, and is actually symmetry for any two body interactions projected to LLL. So most of ED studies, before one even thought about this particle hole symmetry, much they had in it this particle hole symmetry. And the HLR construction has no way of incorporating it, operates outside this lowest Landau level. And trial wave functions from this are not, strictly speaking, not particle hole symmetric, even if we are 99.99% particle hole symmetric in the thermodynamic limit, but presumably very strictly speaking break particle hole symmetry. On the other hand,
they're almost 100% exact, but not quite exact.
So on the other hand, the previous ED studies of small number of electrons found that in the HLR phase is particle hole symmetric. And then, of course, this was discussed that last year, Son proposed a composite fermion liquid, which actually has a way of incorporating particle hole symmetry in it. And what will be crucial for what I will discuss is that in this theory, the composite fermions will still form Fermi C, but there is a particle hole acts on them in the way particle hole acts on the Fermi C of electrons on the surface of topological insulators. Okay. Now, so in the DMRG, so first of all, the measures of we looked at measures of spontaneous particle hole symmetry in DMRG in this composite Fermi liquid state that I described, and we concluded that there is no spontaneous particle hole symmetry breaking. Now, the more direct test of so this is just saying that particle hole symmetry is present in the CFL, but is not directly test of Son's theory. A more direct test that we did is motivated by this familiar property of Dirac cone on the surface of 3D TIs, but there is no backscattering from non-magnetic or time reversal preserving impurities. So an analogous property in Sohn's theory would be that there is no backscattering from particle hole preserving impurities. Now we are doing ground state properties, not dynamics. So the static or equal time analog of that is that you cannot construct the fermionic bilinears which correspond to exact transfer across the Fermi surface, exact precise to backscattering, they are particle hole odd. So they cannot contribute to particle hole symmetric observables. And here is so what we did is we measured structure factor of particle hole symmetric observables, and in this structure factor, all these various transfers that I discussed before, connecting various Fermi points, are present except for the transfer corresponding to exact backscattering. So this is where you expect with this transfer B to C prime, and it's missing. While all other transfers are present, and this is an example actually of how clean this data is. We see not just two fermion contribution, we see signatures from four fermion contribution and six fermion contributions in this data. So now we can actually confirm that absence of 2KF peak came from the particle hole symmetry by perturbing our model, removing the particle hole symmetry from it. And the way this was realized was by imagining there is a second, adding a second layer at higher chemical potential and allowing tunneling to that layer. And as one brings the chemical potential down, the degree, this breaks particle hole symmetry and breaks it more strongly for lower chemical potential, and we see the recovery of this 2KF. So last few minutes, I want to discuss the study of entanglement entropy in the composite Fermi liquid. So in the DMRG study, we used this relation, the central charges number of slices minus one. If you ignore this minus one, so which is okay in the for large number of slices, this reasoning is essentially one way of proving Vidom's formula for the multiplicative log violation of entanglement entropy in the presence of Fermi C. So our one can ask, so Vidom's formula is true for, was proved for free fermions. One can ask, does it hold for these non-Fermi liquids where these fermions are coupled to dynamical gauge field? And Santil and Brian-Swingle conjectured that the gauge field will essentially not change this formula. On the other hand, there was an interesting recent study by Una's group and that found a significantly larger entanglement entropy in a trial wave function for the composite Fermi liquid. So this is a picture from their paper where one analyzes entanglement entropy, one divides entanglement entropy by system size and plots it versus log, and on a bandwidth log violation is a straight line, and for free fermions they found this straight line in agreement with Vidom's formula, while for composite Fermi liquid they found this result, which looks like it's Vidom-like formula but with a coefficient effect of two. So this was interesting to us in that it was not in disagreement with the DMRG study, but you could worry that DMRG was very special quasi 1D limit and this is 2D dimensions. So we wanted to revisit this with Ryan, and we basically used the same technology, Monte Carlo study of this composite Fermi liquids, that we chose to work on a lattice rather than continuum, just we are more comfortable, more familiar working on a lattice. But essentially, qualitatively, we are realizing the same composite Fermi liquid state by taking product of two chair number one bands times a Fermi C state. We also, actually, just for comparisons, we also wanted to consider another version of composite Fermi liquid, which is appropriate for bosons at nu equal 1, so what I will call bosonic HLR. So that has only one factor of the Zi minus Zj. And this is measurement for our similar analysis, entanglement entropy over L. This is log L for our largest study, 24 cross 24 with 144 electrons. This is three fermions, and black line is what one expects from Vidom's formula. And then the fermionic HLI is with red data, and bosonic HLI is with green data. And so from this view, we see similar enhancement of entanglement entropy. Maybe the slope may be not a factor of two, but comparable. And smaller enhancement for the bosonic HLR. However, we think that this is still polluted by finite size effects, and this particular measure is too sensitive to finite size effects. But we can actually make more convincing analysis by examining pieces of entanglement, not the total entanglement entropy, or we can make more convincing analysis of what will happen in the thermodynamic limit by examining pieces of the entanglement entropy, so-called mod and sine. So this is something which was first introduced by, actually, I think all three authors are in this audience. It's natural. So something which is naturally measured when one does variation on Monte Carlo. This mod piece is actually has a direct meaning, it's entanglement entropy for absolute value of psi, while the sine piece is whatever remains of the total entropy, but it's clearly associated with the sine. And now in this measurement, if you look at the sine piece, all three states, three fermions, bosonic HLR, electronic HLR, behave very similarly. All the enhancement in the entanglement entropy came from this mod piece. But the mod piece, actually, from this data, we see that it will actually eventually saturate to the area law. All the violation of the area law is coming from the sine piece, and in this we see that actually we expect that it will be the same as given by Vidom's formula. So thank you for the attention. For your attention.
Questions? Okay.
Well, one correction, it was not my group, although I would have liked it to be, but you know, I don't have a Nobel laureate in my group, and Duncan was one of my collaborators. So it's unfair to say it was really a collaboration between Ed and myself and Duncan and my student. One thing is, if you flash back to the previous page, the next one, where you have the mod and the sine part. Mm-hmm. Right, so to the best of my understanding, first of all, non-Fermi liquids are defined by what they are not, so there's no reason why all the non-Fermi liquids should behave the same way. One thing is that the wave function that you're using here is not the same as the wave function we've used. It's a lattice version, and you do not have the projection. And when we tried with and without projection, that seemed to make a difference in the results. Specifically, if we're comparing the mod part and the sine part, we've also repeated the calculation looking at the mod part and the sine part separately, and both pieces show differences between the free fermion wave function and the composite fermion wave function. So I don't know, you know, what to make of it. I wish I did, but just that's my what I can report in response to what I learned from you.
It would, our expectation is that the wave function we considered is qualitatively in the same phase, so that that should not matter for true long distance properties. It will matter, of course, for quantitative details. So for this wave function, our main message is that everything, the log violation is all in the sign, and we do not see here basically in all of these states, we essentially we have the same slope.
Yeah, so what I was trying to report is that for the sign part, we also see difference between the
wave function
we use and the big frequency.
It's actually almost a coincidence that we agree so that we are on top of each other. You will see, of course, quantitative difference, but.
But the slope is different.
I think you need the reanalysis around the center. In the torus, you should do it by 50-50 strip, and that's actually the way to do it, not the original way it was plotted.
Yeah, it's very
interesting. I think it's definitely interesting to revisit. But what we see is that at first when we took it looked. Yeah. Essentially like your data.
Yeah.
But we understand that all of it actually came from the mod piece, and mod piece cannot have violation. So.
Question. So going back to earlier part of your talk, if I want to relate to Chong's talk, Mr. Chong mentioned many calculations of response functions, say kappa or sigma x y spin or pi berry phase. So can you do all those, or can you do some of those things also in your DMRG for?
No, I don't think so.
Which of those you can do? Can you do none of? I mean, there's a list of things.
This DMRG is ground state DMRG, so the best you can do is correlate.
But is the pi berry phase also not? Pi berry phase sounds like something which is going to be some slow. I don't know, writing something slowly, and I don't know some thing.
One can imagine doing time-dependent DMRG and accessing some time-dependent properties in that way. So the best we could do is kind of static analog of this absence of backscattering, which is here.
Yeah, question.
I have a question from the first part of the talk. So what is the motivation for considering this Parton constructions when you can do your DMRG calculation on the original Hilbert space? Is it that you want
everything, Parton is just motivation for the phase. Everything DMRG is done, of course, on the
original
honest electrons, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Maybe I can make one comment in connection with Chong's talk and yours. So Chong said that there could be this emergent particle hole in the HLR state. For this suppression of backscattering that you talked about, it's not sufficient to have emergent particle hole. It's really a microscopic particle hole symmetry that has to be preserved. So if you're thinking about the distinction between the two states, if you really worry about microscopic symmetries, there are distinctions, at least in the naive picture of the two states. You'd never be. Yeah, you'd never be able to construct the analog of this particle hole symmetric operator.
Again, some magic has to happen.
Yeah, but for this particular operator, to identify it from the microscopic symmetry, you don't have something analogous in that case. Any other questions? Okay.
Are you sure that if you really break the, I mean, the adding an extra layer is actually not a great test, because the question is whether the phase shift for going around the Fermi surface is made different by breaking particle symmetry by keeping at nu equals a half. And the only way to do that is to add a three-body term, because the general theory will tell you that you get a phase factor pi irrespective of whether you have particle symmetry now that at nu equals a half. So of course particle hole symmetry has to be nu equals a half, so it has to have pi, but the question if you actually need to put a three-body term on the problem to stay at nu equals a half and break the symmetry. For example, if you put an extra layer, you could be transferring stuff and making a little piece of opposite type Fermi surface and shrinking the thing, and then you'll ruin the phase shift business. So the only true test that particle hole symmetry is crucial would be to put a three-body term on.
Without
adding an extra internal degree.
I think in this, I agree that actually it would be cleaner to...
It's a non-test without the three-body term.
To add three-body term. I think the reason this was chosen was historic because...
Yeah.
Scott, Mike, Roger already had the implemented way of coupling to another layer. But I think the thing is here, one remains in a state with a single Fermi C. And actually, if I remember correctly, even for this fairly large particle hole symmetry breaking term, the induced density in the other was very small. But the whole system is still electrons at half healing. It's just that it's
not,
electrons.
Not if you've added the extra layer to it.
Well, if you are,
you'll certainly have some weight of the electrons in the second layer. So the only true test to see if particle hole symmetry is crucial to get that.
But you have electrons that. How feeling like you can imagine of course none of orbitals have some weight in both layers, but as far as it what external magnetic field and electron density, total electron density is concerned,
it'd be nice to do the transparent test to add the three body term and show that.
So where my mic is standing there. If you can convince him to.
Okay.
Well, so that's one perspective. But you can just think that, okay, well, whatever orbital it is, there is, say, if you. Some kind of bonding, antibonding. It's not really bonding, antibonding. Of course, there is no symmetry, but there is some orbital, and you are as far as number of electrons relative to total external field. It's half filling.
Right. If you get sigma x y equals a half, implies the phase shift going around the Fermi surface is pi, then. And you have inversion symmetry unbroken, then you should get this cancellation. So if that's a true statement without invoking particle hole symmetry, then it shouldn't be broken by broken particle hole symmetry. So you really would like to test whether that's really true, whether particle hole symmetry is a crucial ingredient or not for getting a very phase shift
I think it's worthwhile to.
Okay, one last question, quick question.
A comment on this discussion. So it's possible that, you add a three-body term, you break particle hole symmetry, or you do what, add this other layer. Whichever way you break particle hole symmetry, you may have a belly face of pi, but it may not show up as the suppression of this 2KF correlators of this particular operator. You don't know which operator to look at if you don't have particle hole symmetry. As a test to the belly face of pi. So I don't know that this thing will test what you're.
Okay, so I'll take advantage of this lull and let's go to lunch. Thanks.